CliffCentral.com. This morning, C and I will be singing everything we have to say to you.
Hello.
No, we won't do that. You just changed my mind. With your first note, you changed my mind.
Okay, I was meant to keep this quiet, but I'm too excited.
What?
So I will let you in on something.
What?
I need to hijack 5 minutes of the show tomorrow.
Why? What's happening?
I have a very special announcement.
What is it? Don't do this
Gareth,
to me. Tell me what it is.
You know how mobs and mobs of people have just been living lives incomplete because I've not recorded a musical song yet.
Oh, I thought you had. You haven't recorded a song?
Oh, well, my own original
debut
single
Yes,
will be airing tomorrow.
Oh, really? How exciting. That's very good news.
It features the vocal abilities of Spongile as well.
Who works here, right.
Who works here as well.
Not Spongile Khumalo or Spongile Mgoma.
No, we're still going to get there. We aren't there yet. And was produced by Greg, our very own.
How fantastic.
Tech aficionado.
Oh,
this is a true and through Cliff Central production.
Fantastic.
It's going to take over the Billboard charts. So, tomorrow.
Can't wait.
You just see the people spike up listening in anticipation.
How wonderful.
My debut single.
I'll be sure to give it its full attention and all it is due in terms of respect and praise.
Thank you.
I got a bit of a crick in the neck this morning. I don't know where it came from because I slept like a baby last night.
Really?
I slept so well. I wish I could sleep like that every night. It happens, I don't know, once every 2 weeks that I have a really, really good night's sleep. It's probably just exhaustion that gets me there. Because yesterday was kind of busy, so I didn't get a chance to go to the gym.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I was just, maybe I wasn't tired enough. I don't know what it is. I'm wishing that somehow there was a way to find out what it is precisely. And there will be, technologically, one day there'll be a way to plug yourself into some machine or do a scan. And it'll say to you, well, you need 3.25 hours of sleep to be optimal tomorrow. You need to eat this and that and that the first thing you wake up. You need X amount of water.
Or you just need a complete hard drive update.
Yeah. Or you need,
we'll get to that point.
Take you to an upgrade facility where you can upgrade. Or you need to actually take 3 days off of work. And then when you get back, you'll be able to do all the stuff you've missed out on because you'll be optimal.
Mm.
You know, people need to know that stuff. And you know how we do this with cars? You take a car for a service and then they do diagnostics, even on the old cars now they can do it. And they check the oil and they change the coolant and they upgrade the air conditioning gases or whatever it is.
Mm.
And they change all this stuff and they maybe check your tires to see that they're not bald. And you have brake pads adjusted and sometimes replaced.
Yeah.
We all need that stuff. We need maintenance.
That's it.
Yeah, so I mean, I have this regular note on my phone that reminds me probably every 3 weeks. You got to do things like scrub the bottom of your feet. I know it sounds ridiculous, but I have lists for everything. Do you know those stones? Those very light stones? Pumice stones.
That's it.
So I scrape the bottom of my feet with those so that they're nice and clean and there aren't any cracked parts of the heel or anything, because that's disgusting. Even though, I mean, the only one who cares is me. I'll clip my nails on a regular schedule.
Yes.
Because I hate it when those grow too long. I trim your nose hairs. You know, that's disgusting. Got to do that.
But I grew up with, the apple didn't fall far from the tree, but I grew up with a hypochondriac mother.
Oh, right.
Who actually, like probably 2 weeks ago, we were speaking and she was reminding me like, you know, it's that time of the year now, you know, we need to go for our physical because she, I have three older sisters, she goes for a mammogram religiously. She says, you just need to always get yourself checked out.
Let's go for physicals, physicals. We gotta go for physicals.
It's actually sad now that I think about it. That was like our prized family outing every year.
Right.
We'd go to the doctor together. My sisters would take their own. Yeah, my sisters and my mother would go down the corridor to their gynae or whatever the case is, their OBGYN. And I'd just go to my pediatrician. Like, it was the thing. It's not healthy at all. Healthy in a sane sense.
No, but it is. It's very healthy. We were healthy. I think in that it's way. Good. I think it's great.
But that's the maintenance. That's the hard way.
Yeah, you got to do that stuff, update. Right?
Yeah.
But we tend to give ourselves a physical maintenance check, but how often do you do a mental maintenance check?
As we were chatting about yesterday.
We were. We were talking about depression with Neo, who listens to us and who's kind of been a friend of the show for the longest time, and she has started a group on Facebook. They're just getting people talking about their mental conditioning. Because that's something we don't give enough attention to.
Mm.
And I'm wondering, I try to upgrade my mind as much as possible in terms of feeding it intellectually. Try to read a lot or listen to a lot or make myself aware of what's going on around me. Because some people live completely in the dark. I mean, there's this interesting conundrum. There's this supposedly wise and sage saying that 1% of the people do all the incredible stuff. 9% of the people watch that stuff being done.
Mm-hmm.
And the other 90% of people go, what the hell happened? It's true, right? It is true.
What's the purpose of the people who are watching? At least, the 90 are just confused or confused.
Well, they're paying attention, so they can usually glom on to whatever's going on.
Okay.
So if there's something interesting happening, like let's say mobile cellular technology, that 9% of the first people to do it. It's like when we started this, cliffcentral.com, the 9% of people who started listening to us are the 9% who would adopt any new technology. They were smart enough to figure out on their phones how to do it. It was totally new. It was something they weren't used to, but they changed their behavior. We've got the smart people.
Okay.
The other 90%, I don't know that we'll ever get. We've probably had some trickle through, but I'm not interested in them. They were the people I spoke to on radio. I'm not interested in talking to them anymore.
But it's that 1%.
Well, that 1%, I think, are also the kind of people that we interview so often. They're the ones who are making things happen. Not all, but certainly some of the people we've spoken to are people who make things happen, are people who get things done. And that's always exciting. So if you think of life like that, you've got to decide every single day which percentage am I in. Because being in the 1% is hard. It is competitive. It is stressful. I was talking to a doctor friend of mine. He was working yesterday until 8 o'clock. Then he had to go to another hospital for two more cases in the evening.
Mm.
Finished at probably, I don't know, 12. Can you imagine? He has to wake up this morning and go work again. That is hard work.
Yeah.
That's tough. And if he doesn't do that, it's not as if, if I don't reply to three emails, I might lose a deal or there might be a client who's unhappy or...
Oh, someone's life resting on your shoulders.
But if you're a doctor, yes, exactly. If you're a doctor, there are serious real-world consequences to you not doing your job. Or... operating at 40%, not having your physical software upgrade, not being able to feed yourself, go to gym, look after yourself, have the requisite energy to be able to do what you're doing. Imagine a doctor, brilliant doctor. Let's say this is one of the best doctors in the world, but he's working on you, he's operating on you, and he's at 50% energy because he's exhausted. It's the end of the longest day. He's tired. Maybe he's stressed out.
Oh, no.
Hmm?
You don't want to.
You'd rather have
you don't want to be in their hands.
You'd rather have a backroom doctor who is much, much cheaper, but he's alert. You know what I mean? Yes, I'm telling you.
I also don't want to end up with pliers stuck in my tummy as they're like sewing me back up. That's the other side of it.
Right.
But wow. Yeah, I always admire entrepreneurs who are starting out and they're really making things happen regardless. And they'll, it's not a 9-to-5 if you're starting out a business in most cases. It's these 10, 12, 14 hour days because everything rests on you in making it happen. You have to be part of that 1% then.
Oh, for sure. You have to try. I mean, not all of us get it right. You know, it's a tough thing to be able to get right. So, a few things today. First of all, have you also been besieged by Black Friday sales in your inbox?
Oh my goodness, everywhere.
Even on TV. I hardly watched TV last night. I walked past the TV and there were all these Black Friday specials.
I went grocery shopping yesterday and my local grocery store was just plastered in signs and deals and get three of these for this much and get two of these for that much. And I realized how quickly everyone gets caught by this.
Oh, wow. It's such a trap.
Yeah.
And people are, hey, you're persuaded. You're like, oh, shit, if I don't take part in this, I'm going to miss out. I wouldn't go to the... Do you remember Flax used to go to these Black Friday sales?
Yeah. And
Michael Flax would go to all of them.
He went and look out for deals on websites. I mean, and yeah.
The bravest guy in the world, because to do that is just my idea of hell. But I wouldn't be able to do it.
Oh, I actually stopped myself as I was pushing the trolley around with certain things. Like, you do not need... What did I get? I think I was... It was something arbitrary, like two boxes of ice cream. I was like, no, you really don't need this, because they were telling me it's a great sign.
No, stop yourself.
And
it's
then
like
it was like
every shop you go to these days, they've got a special on something, and they go, well, if you buy three of these, you get two extras. And I'm like, but I don't want five of them. I only want two.
I'm not even kidding. I even bought four bundles of pita bread. I'm like, what?
Why?
What will you be doing?
You're not going to eat that much pita bread, right?
To also take it back. But watch, I think it was Macro, their website actually went down yesterday.
Uh-oh.
Ahead of Friday. So already people are on those websites, are buying ridiculously, are waiting for these deals.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, lest we forget, there's just this little thing called a technical recession. There are these price hikes
everywhere. Well, this is the thing, right? Everybody's talking about all this stuff like we've got extra money lying around in South Africa, and we honestly do not.
But it's still always the case. You go to shopping centers, they'll be full.
Yeah, that's also true.
You are on the roads, you still see great cars everywhere. I really don't know how some people are doing it.
Yeah, I don't know how most people manage the stuff at all. It's really hard. I mean, I also don't know. I was saying the other day, the problem with so many people is that you've got pressure now on holidays to go away. If you've got a family, you've got to pay for all of them to go away for a holiday. Imagine your bank account's empty. You're looking at it. There's no 13th check coming because no one can afford that. And now you also have to spend money you don't have. Christmas presents, family holidays. If the petrol price goes up, I reckon a lot of people will be cancelling their holidays.
But everyone just has to be very honest about where they are financially. I follow this young girl. Her name is Nicolette Mashile on Twitter. And she is always tweeting financial tips. And she's South African. So there's something about her being able to relate to what's happening in the country, but being very, very frank. And she used an average salary of 25,000 rands a month. And she says, if you earn 25,000 rands a month and you are able to tighten your expenses to the point where you are living off 10,000 rands a month. Look, not everyone can do that. But understandably, that you are saving 15,000 rands, you could be a millionaire in 5 years just simply based on a simple savings account.
Yep.
No extra interest, no investments anywhere. Just by saving 15,000 rands a month, you can be a millionaire in 5 years.
That's not too difficult.
And if you really think about it,
if you cut here and you cut there, and you know, people...
If you have the luxury of staying at home...
People go, but I need to live like this.
No, you don't.
I need all this stuff. I need this. I've got to go here and I have to eat out at this place. And no, you don't. You don't. And you know what? Stop thinking that you're in the rich. You're not in the group with the rich people.
Mm.
The super rich people don't count. They don't care about how much money's in the bank. They don't have to. If you worry about what's in the bank, and most of us do, I don't know anybody who doesn't, then you're not the richest person. You calm the hell down. Keep your money to yourself. Save some of that. Don't spend it all. And don't feel this pressure to go and buy expensive Christmas presents and all that shit either. The economy's not dependent on you to do that. Just relax. It would be better if you saved. Anyway, look at me being all like sensible and reasonable. Hey, Nolo.
What's up?
You doing any Black Friday sales?
I don't have any money to spare. Even if I wanted to, I couldn't possibly.
That's horrible.
So has no one fallen into the Christmas present trap yet either?
I went to Lifestyle yesterday, you know, our friend's Lifestyle Home and Garden.
Mm-hmm.
So I saw a whole lot of, they've got so much cool stuff there. Oh, it's just unbelievable. But I managed to hold back. I spent, I think, 300 and something rand.
On?
I was like, what did I buy? I bought...
this is a safe space. We won't judge you.
What did I buy? I bought like Christmas decoration stuff because remember they came in on the last show that they did with us.
It was like 2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago, and Robin was talking about all these Christmas decorations, some very cool stuff. So I bought some of that because I need some. I didn't have a lot of Christmas decorations last year, so I needed to get some new ones. And then I bought pool chlorine, which is very exciting.
Okay.
Well, you can get it all in one, right?
Yeah, if it's convenient.
And
all
I bought
in one
a plant.
Place.
I actually bought this one plant that's very cool. This thing, it's a citronella plant. So you know with mozzies?
Yes.
You put this thing like at the door of your, I don't know, wherever you put it outside where you sit or whatever. And if you rub the leaves, it gives off that citronella oil, which chases away the mozzies and the flies. And
Yeah,
how cool is that?
I think Robin did tell us about something like that. Yeah.
So you plant that thing and then you're not going to have as many flying insects around.
No, cool, those are good investments,
I reckon.
Well, the plant, yeah. Everything else.
All of it came to like 300 and something bucks. Very impressed. Yeah,
it's a tough pill to swallow, but sometimes spending money's nice.
Well, there's an actual thing called retail therapy. It's a real problem. It's a proper addiction, like gambling or smoking or drinking or drugs.
What do they say it is? Like you get,
the thrill you get of buying stuff and putting it in your car and getting home and opening those packets and putting the stuff in places you want it to be, or, you know, adding it to your cupboard or whatever it is that you've bought. If you take out a pair of shoes, for example, because I can understand this. You go and buy a brand new pair of sneakers. You get home and then the next day you wear them and you feel really excited because you bought a brand new pair of shoes. There's a real thrill to that.
Yes.
Turns people on. Gets them super excited.
Oh.
I used to be that person back in the day.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I would buy things and I would be so broke and so happy when I leave the stores. And I wouldn't even wear them. I would be stuck with pairs of shoes that I wouldn't wear, and I'd end up giving them away. And it was just a waste.
Well, if I think about how much money I've wasted on dumb stuff, like if you buy a whole lot of cheap shit, it never lasts. It always breaks. It's crap, right?
Mm.
And it feels good at the moment that you buy it. You're like, wow, I'm getting all these bargains. But then you get home and you're like, what shit did I buy? I'll never wear those pants.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Or even if you wear it for a while, in a year's time, you might still go back and go, mm-mm.
My sister bought herself a Fender ukulele. She plays a ukulele for fun. All right, so Fender make these amazing. You can just feel the wood is beautiful. It's a light thing. It's got beautiful strings. The one is metal.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a well-made. It's not this cheap piece of shit. You know, like a petrol can with strings down and a block of wood at the end. This is a real work of art, and it cost her a bit of money. And she's so happy with it. And I said to her, you always get what you pay for. If you get something that's really cheap, trust me, it is cheap. It's cheap for a good reason, and it's going to let you down.
Mm-hmm.
Rather buy one good thing every 2 years than buy 10 pieces of shit every month.
Putting the thrill aside, going straight into the store, just swiping away.
Because you build up to, you know how if you fall in love with someone, the best part is dating phase, that getting to know each other phase, that excitement around, wow, this person is awesome, they're exciting, they I didn't know that about them. And then you build up to a point where you are together, or that you have sex or whatever it is that you first do that kind of makes it a real relationship. You have to do the same thing with stuff. You must build it up. You must get excited. You must save. You must be disciplined. Blah, blah, blah. You go all this trouble. And then when you get it, it feels amazing.
Mm.
If you're just buying little things every month, so what?
I admire people who aren't into spending much. It's just like, yeah.
Me too.
Not phased, nothing at all.
I know, I
but
try.
We'll see the same stories over and over come tomorrow and over the weekend.
Oh, you're
going to
see so many Black Friday disasters. Like, people are going to push down the entrances to shops. How it goes. Steal TVs. Except Amor.
Amor, I knew it!
Amor doesn't have to steal a TV because she got one in US World. It's all she got. Lucky, lucky Amor. She doesn't have to go to Black Friday sales.
Oh, she's so lucky, damn it.
Brendan says, morning team, the first Black Friday I went in my lunch hour, got to the Hyperama parking lot, struggled to get parking, eventually found a spot, walked into the store and there were people smashing each other over pup. They were hitting each other over the head because of pup. Cops were on the scene, chaos everywhere. I turned around and walked out. That was my first and last Black Friday I'll ever attend.
Over pup. Oh, guys.
Pup.
Not yet, Uhur. Yeah, even going grocery shopping yesterday, that the prime big products are right at the entrance of the store. So yeah, you do see a lot of pap, a lot of rice. I'm like, no, guys, you can't be doing this just yet. You cannot. Don't fall into this trap. Because now, and I think we discussed it with the folks from Proudly SA, we are getting into very Americanized shopping trends.
Yes, we are. Now, Black Friday was never... 2 years ago, it wasn't a thing.
Our stores now open for longer.
A few people would do it, but it wasn't a thing.
Yeah.
Now it's a massive thing.
And it was just originally on online platforms. Yes, now correct. Our actual stores are open for longer. I mean, I remember, I think it was 2 years ago, just seeing my first notice of like Sandton City opening till after midnight. And these are stores trading as well, not just restaurants. I think that's crazy.
Well, it starts tonight at midnight, apparently.
Oh, see?
Yeah. So tonight is when everybody's going to be sitting in front of their computers. All the online deals have gone at midnight tonight. And then tomorrow's the shopping day. Stay away from the malls if you have any brains. Any brains. It's not like you're getting 50 to 60% reduced prices. You're getting like 10, 20% off.
Well, sometimes you do get great deals.
Really?
Yes. Oh, yes. Oh. And I think you are smart if there's something that you really want and that you'll wait rather for Black Friday for, as opposed to just going off on a whim and buying things. But hey, guys, it's your money.
Sure.
It's your debt. Go ahead.
Let's look at some stuff you need to know this morning. Five things you need to know. The ANC are going to celebrate their 107th anniversary at Moses Mabhida. Oh, how wonderful for Durban. To have those pricks in your city. Yep, the African National Congress's head of elections, Fikile Mbalula. We haven't heard from him in so long. Isn't it nice?
Oh.
Yeah, he's announced. By the way, he's looking like an old grandma. I can hardly tell the difference in a picture between him and Batabile Dlamini.
Razzmatazz.
Yeah, he looks like a grandma. Honestly, go and take a look at him from the latest press release at Luthuli House. He's their head of elections. He's announced they will be celebrating at the 107th anniversary of the Moses Mabhida Stadium on 12 January. There's another waste of money. It will be a party where Cyril Ramaphosa will launch the organization's election manifesto, an official album for the campaign trail. Aren't you excited? Oh, I'm so excited. Fikile Mbalula. I haven't heard from him in so long. Oh,
they're releasing an album.
Mm-hmm.
In conclusion, we urge all our members throughout the length and breadth of the country to be seized with the immediate task of unity and renewal of the organization, and further ensure that work is done on a daily basis to find solutions to the problems and challenges that our people are confronted with.
He's got to face this guy, his best years are behind him.
And he's only 47.
Fikile's life is never going to get better, and he looks like a grandma, honest to God. Am I right, Nolo? He looks like a grandmother. If there was a bit of grey in that hair, he would look like Batabile Dlamini.
Well, he's already starting to go grey.
He would, right? Take a look at what he looks like now. Ish, Jesus.
Oh, no. And how did this new title just slide past all of us? He's now the head of elections.
Mm.
What is that?
Mm. Yeah, exactly. All right, so happy for the ANC in January. Very exciting. Then Parliament are to oppose the AfriForum court bid over land expropriation. Of course they would. Of course AfriForum would oppose them. Parliament says it will oppose a court bid by AfriForum to have the report of Parliament's Constitutional Review Committee set aside. The report recommends the Constitution be amended to allow the state to expropriate land without compensation. For the state to come in and take away your and my property. And if you don't own any property, obviously you don't care about this. But you're obviously not the kind of person who's interested in private property then. So don't bother going to work today. Just stay at home and do nothing. Why would you want to work if you don't want... I mean, if you go to a Black Friday sale, you're a capitalist. I hate to break it to you. If you get in a car or a taxi or a train and you go to a mall today to buy stuff, you believe in property rights and you're a capitalist. Otherwise, you wouldn't do that. So stop fighting it. And if you believe in property rights, then you don't want someone else to take your property without compensating you, right? Makes sense. So actually, I would say 90% of people in this country on this, whether they're aware of it or not, are with AfriForum. I know you don't like that. A lot of people don't want to be put in the same box as AfriForum. If you are the kind of person who believes that the state has a right to come around, knock on your door, and threaten you with violence if you don't give them stuff, then you're a socialist. So choose. I'll go through the options again. Option number one, you only have these two choices. Option number one, buy and accumulate and work hard for stuff in your life that is then yours, that you own, that you can distribute, you can sell, you can give away if you want to. Or you believe on the other side that the state has the right to come, knock on your door, take away your stuff at gunpoint. Which world do you want to live in? Because that's what the choice is. And believe it or not, you wouldn't have thought this, but the guys on the side are Parliament. Because they want to keep control. They want to decide what they think they're the best people to decide who gets what. And all we know about them so far is that they're all crooks and thieves and will steal out from under your nose.
And heads of election.
The people who started this discussion around expropriation were the EFF. What do we know about them in the last couple of weeks? Each and every one of them implicated in this VBS scandal where they ripped off poor people. Ripped them off. Stole them blind. Are those the people you want deciding what happens to property? Or do you want the people on the other side? Anyway, we'll see what happens there, and we'll keep a beady eye on this AfriForum Parliament situation. The DA and Kata Freedom Party, Congress of the People, and the African Christian Democratic Party, as well as the Freedom Front Plus, all objected, citing irregularities in the process. The problem, according to AfriForum, is that MPs have failed to follow due process. He says they have thousands and thousands of signatures, and the parliamentary committee didn't look at them. Something like 700,000 submissions. That's enormous.
And how do you just not look at that?
You just ignored it because Parliament don't care. It doesn't fit their story. So other stories. There was an illegal drug lab. Huge meth lab with these big like basins cooking meth.
Oh, by that soccer player.
Yes.
I'm waiting for their name to get revealed.
Four people, including a well-known former soccer player, have been arrested following the discovery of a clandestine drug lab in a small holding in Randfontein. The four were arrested following an investigation by a multidisciplinary team made of crime intelligence, the Directorate of Priority Crime Investigation, and Gauteng Province's anti-gang unit members.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. The soccer legend, whose identity is known to IOL, played for Kaizer Chiefs and Morocco Swallows in its heyday.
Damn it, where's Ben?
Yeah, I know, look it up. He cannot be named as he has not appeared in court. But they went, they found this huge drug lab, man. Big vats. Forensic science laboratory crime scene investigators are there on the scene, collecting evidence. So they're gonna tell us more. And they'll reveal those names. And then a grade one pupil was stabbed to death inside a Northwest school toilet. I mean, can you believe this? A grade 1 pupil was stabbed multiple times, allegedly by a grade 11 pupil from another school, Mankala Technical High School, who'd been hiding in the primary school's toilet. I mean, this is a disgusting situation. It's alleged the suspect apparently slept in the toilet overnight without anyone knowing he was there. The deceased was the first one to go to the toilet in the morning, and the grade 11 pupil allegedly repeatedly stabbed him. He was rushed to a local clinic where he was sadly certified dead. You drop your grade 1 kid off at school, you don't expect there to be some criminal nutcase lurking in the toilets who gets woken up and then stabs a little kid. Principal of the school managed to apprehend the alleged perpetrator and handed him over to the police.
It sadly reminds me of another popular news story from last week of a student in a high school in Soweto who has mental issues. And because of how the system isn't exactly updated or people don't actually do their work in certain cases, that student was actually put in a conventional high school and not in a high where, you know, where people with mental disabilities are. And that pupil actually attacked a teacher last week and was now this to and froing of what do we actually do? We're trying to be sensitive to the fact that they have issues, but at the same time, he physically attacked a staff member. Yeah. It's one of those harrowing stories, really.
Jesus. You can't put people who have these kinds of serious problems in with the rest of us. They're not the same as the rest of us.
And it's not discrimination.
They need special care, and they need special people with training who deal with them. It's not discrimination. And you know what? Even if it was discrimination, it's discrimination that keeps people safe. You don't walk into a room full of knife-wielding crackheads. That's a bad idea. No matter how much of a Democrat you are, walk in there and go, well, I'm equal to all of you. Hello, crackheads.
Mm-mm.
Do you mind if I sit here in the middle and quietly go about listening to a podcast?
Mm-mm.
No. They're going to attack you and kill you for your stuff because they're crackheads. People are unbelievable.
Yeah.
A former commander of the South African Narcotics Enforcement Bureau of the Hawks in Durban has laid bare allegations of collusion between police officers and a Phoenix drug lord. The officer, a lieutenant colonel, is himself under investigation for having links to a rival drug lord and alleged head of a notorious street gang in Phoenix. The officer made several allegations against his fellow officers. He said police officers have stolen drugs and money from crime scenes, and in some instances sold the drugs back to drug dealers.
What is going on there?
I don't know. It sounds disgusting, right? Who knows what's happening?
Jeez.
Craziness. All right, let's check in with Sia and find out what's going on in said by Sia this morning.
Do you want to do crypto?
Yes. Yeah, we can. It's gone up a little bit. $4,552 for a Bitcoin. $136 for Ethereum. But it's just crap.
Mm.
So crap. Oh, so crap.
Shame. Okay. Oh. So sad.
So sad.
It's a sad situation.
Exactly. All right, Sia, what do you got for us this morning? Here's said by Sia. Cheer us up, will you?
You know, before we get into the whole hub and the bub of Black Friday, Black Friday actually originally was born out of Thanksgiving. So it's Thanksgiving right now in the United States. And I want to highlight Scott McCauley this morning. He's a man who hosts a free Thanksgiving dinner every single year for people who don't want to be alone. You know, yesterday we were talking about loneliness and what that can do for people. Well, Scott McCauley was actually inspired to cook dinner for strangers in his hometown of Melrose in Massachusetts. And he's been doing this for 30 3 years. And for him, it actually began back in 1985 when it was his first Thanksgiving alone after his parents' divorce. And he realized, like, ugh, not in the best place right now. I don't want to eat alone. Because really, as well, we read these stories, we hear about these stats of how the holiday season or the festive season is when a lot of, you know, suicides will spike because people feel more lonely.
Yeah.
So he put out an ad in a local paper asking for 12 people who'd like to join for dinner, and lo and behold, people actually rocked up.
Imagine.
So he bought all the stuff, he made everything himself for dinner, and since those 12 strangers gathered around the table for turkey 33 years ago, he's just done it every single year since. It's his own annual event. He even has a dedicated office line number for people to call.
Would you invite a whole bunch of strangers?
I wouldn't invite strangers to my house. And I think there's another way to go about it. Perhaps rather say, you know, you go to a place of safety where abused children are. I'd do that than invite strangers.
Yeah, my mother always says at Christmas time, isn't there someone who's alone this Christmas that we should invite?
Then I would invite someone who I know who's alone.
Yeah, of course. It's not going to be a complete
stranger.
The ad
on the newspaper, I think, is a lot. But Scott McCauley now...
No, I try to talk her out of it.
Really?
Oh, I say to her, please do not.
Oh, no. You see, I grew up in a big family. There was always like a cousin, an uncle, who is not blood related, but somehow now you have to pass the chicken over to you. You're like, okay, this is happening. But kudos to you, Scott, feeding up to 70 people every single year. And I think it's just a great add-on to the conversations we were having yesterday. You know, let's think about this festive season, that there might be some people, not to sound like your mom, Gareth, but there are some people who are alone at this time of the year. And that's just it by Sia for this morning.
All right. Well, here's a message from Guillermo. He says, listen to Fikile. The ANC's focus is on uniting the party. They should be focusing on uniting the country. No, they don't. Guillermo, you must be insane. They don't care about uniting the country. These guys are employed by the party. The party decides where they go, whether they get a job. The guy who's talking, Fikile Mbalula, his best days are behind him. He was minister. He'll never reach that again. He's grossly incompetent. He's stupid. He's been demoted. Several times. He's an embarrassment. What he's saying is precisely how most of the ANC think. They need the ANC to get them ahead. They could never go out into the business world and make it. You think Fikile Mbalula, if he was a private individual who wasn't inside the ANC, do you think we would ever have known his name? No, he'd be digging a hole on the side of the road. We would never have heard the name Fikile Mbalula.
No razzmatazz, no Mustafa.
There's nothing special about him at all. Nothing.
And we can't ignore the obvious.
So he's in the ANC. That's how he got ahead. He's been loyal to the ANC, and the ANC rewarded him by deploying him. Kay did deployment, and they deployed him to important jobs like minister. Terrible idea. How did that work out for Fikile? Badly.
Now he looks, and good times.
Now he's wearing a yellow t-shirt and looks like a gran. He used to wear flashy suits and talk about how he was going to punish criminals and he was so powerful.
Well, now he's the head of elections and he's planning
now,
an album.
If you want to see Fikile Mbalula, you couldn't have got an appointment with him. Remember how we tried to get him on the show three years ago?
Always this and that.
He's so busy, so important. All you have to do right now is go and stand outside Lutuli House with a shopping trolley with some chicken in it, and you'll come down and say hi. Trust me.
You make it sound like that's the trap.
That's what he's got. That's all he's got. Kelly says, accidentally, I went to Macro yesterday without knowing they have a Black 5 Day.
Oh, that's it then.
Dozens of people frantically grabbing big screen TVs and waddling around like penguins among all the other shoppers. I mean, can you imagine? Anushka saying, I'm into the Smeg appliances right now. Already got a kettle and toaster. Tomorrow, all I want is a Smeg juicer. Preferably online. I will not be doing shops. So you've fallen for it.
You see, though, if like Anushka, you're planning for it. I know with my sister who recently had her new baby, she's been holding off on buying certain other things for the baby up until tomorrow. So she's looking for, I don't know, a different type of pump and another changing table and a this and a that. And, you know, if it's discounted tomorrow, then that's great and you were planning for it. But don't now just run and be causing chaos in a Black Five, Black Five day. The times we're living in, no, that's a mess.
All right, well, we'd like to think that we're all smart, but if you're participating in Black Friday tomorrow, if you're going along to some of these sales and you think it's a great idea, then educate the rest of us. Maybe we're missing something. Guys, yesterday's podcast was absolute fire. Oh my God, Gord is so funny. Keep up the good work, cliffcentral.com. That's from Canas. All right, very nice, thank you.
He's back, he's alive.
Mm-hmm. We managed to resurrect him from the dead. We'll be talking to Catherine Child about Pravin Gordhan at the State Capture Commission, the EFF strike that has been called, and how Momentum should have handled the media. All of that and more coming up, and that'll be with Catherine Child in The Burning Platform.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, it's brought to you by Nando's every single week.
Oh, it's fiery hot this week.
It is.
Catherine actually works in the offices where the EFF was striking directly outside.
Oh, right.
Because, I don't know, now they have a gripe with Tiso Blackstar, and that ties into Gordhan's testimony this week at the State Capture Inquiry. It's just never a dull day in the EFF's life, really.
No, the EFF have got major problems because they've all been implicated. Julius has been personally implicated. Floyd, we know, is already involved there. And it just looks very bad for the party. You know, for a party that's been saying they're against state capture, they're against corruption. Well, no, you're just like everybody else.
Gareth, do you know what the answer to this is? For good.
For good?
No, I'm joking. Patricia DeLol, no.
Oh, Patricia.
No.
Even had to remind me. I was like, huh? I know I meant to know what that is, but... All right, listen to this quickly. Here's the screaming, moaning Paul Joseph Watson, who I sometimes like to listen to from InfoWars, just because he's entertaining. And you don't buy all of this stuff hook, line, and sinker, so I don't expect you to. But he makes an interesting point here about modern advertising, which I thought might interest you, especially because you're being bombarded this week by Black Friday ads.
It's Black Friday once again, so what better time to survey the landscape of modern advertising? We live in a world where authenticity has been ferociously eradicated. Around every corner, there's a cultural dead end just waiting to disappoint. Yet if you believe advertisers, life-affirming authenticity can now be found in a cheeseburger or a phone contract. Advertisers have always tried to sell a lifestyle, but now they've taken it to unparalleled levels of delusion and sheer unadulterated cringe. Now you're not just buying into a lifestyle, you're defining who you are as a person. You're
he's right though, right? Am I right?
Mm-hmm. You're defining who you are as a person.
Yeah, I mean, this is what advertising is. It's like, if you don't get this contract, if you don't buy this gym membership, if you don't have this product in your house, then you are not this kind of person.
Defining who you are as a person. You're expressing your existential value to the world. The advertising industry's latest premeditated pastiche revolves around rebranding conformity and feckless consumerism as spiritual self-empowerment. Everything has to be so fucking profound. But again, it's all contrived. It's fake profundity. It's a facsimile of authenticity. O2's ads are particularly cringy and pretentious.
Your time in the universe is finite. Don't waste a second. Breathe it all in.
What, by taking out a phone contract? That ain't it, Chief. My existential angst isn't soothed by knowing I have unlimited data and calls. Sorry, it just doesn't work that way.
Bacardi. Do what moves you.
What moves me is not drinking Bacardi because it tastes like out-of-date cough syrup. For 40 years, oh. Burger King had the same slogan, have it your way. Basically saying, you can customize your burger order. Then they changed it to be your way, then just your way. Because for some reason, it's important to combine wanting extra onions on your bacon cheeseburger
with an organic, in-the-moment burst of emotional self-expression.
Nike. believe in something, even if it means sacrificing everything. In this case, sacrificing a shit career that was already over to become the physical embodiment of virtue signalling writ large. Speaking of virtue signalling, Toyota's Go Your Own Way ad campaign relies on drag queens to promote
a kind of utopian world where there's no hate.
Because buying an Aygo is guaranteed to eliminate negative human emotions overnight.
Drag is the new punk, all the kids are doing it. Which is great, you know, it's a different way of sticking two fingers up at everyone.
Yeah, you're the face of an ad campaign for the sixth largest corporation in the world with a net worth of $263 billion. That's not avant-garde or anti-establishment. It's the opposite. But again, selling a product isn't enough anymore. Now it's necessary to encapsulate it with a profound statement to sell a utopian pipe dream. At least in They Live, they kept the brainwashing nice and straightforward. Heineken doesn't even try to veil the message behind their sales patter.
Here's to an open world, to a world without borders or barriers.
Released shortly after a terrorist who was in the country because of open borders blew up a bunch of kids in Manchester.
Yeah, you remember that Ariana Grande concert?
Whoops.
Here's to an open world, to a world without borders or barriers.
Listen, you're selling beer, not rewriting John Lennon's Imagine. Just tell me about the frigging beer. I want to know about the product. I don't need transnational corporations lecturing me about the state of the world or the meaning of life. Ben and Jerry's. Today we launch Pecan Resist. This flavor supports groups creating a more just and equitable nation for us all and who are fighting President Trump's regressive agenda.
I love how they made all the people on the carton look like almost identical NPCs.
Today we launch Pecan Resist. This flavor supports groups creating a more just and equitable nation for us all and who are fighting President Trump's regressive agenda.
Yeah.
Of course, virtue signalling also secures you millions of dollars worth of free advertising. Like when Kleenex ditched man-sized tissues to fight the evil patriarchy. Because Twitter is full of dumb simpletons who can't tell the difference. The ultimate irony here, of course, is that all this pre-packaged self-expression is so fucking generic that it turns into one huge dumpster fire of cringe conformity. Compare all this to advertising slogans of the past. Go to work on an egg. Beans means Heinz. Snap, crackle, pop. It does exactly what it says on the tin. All pragmatic or describing the product. None of this intelligence-insulting, pompous, moralizing drivel that we're subjected to today. But some companies inadvertently let slip that their true agenda isn't diversity or self-expression, it's crushing conformity. Look at Apple's latest ad for its crappy watch. A bunch of people who look exactly the same jumping into the sea like lemmings. What could they possibly mean by that?
I haven't seen that ad, but it's very clever. Ooh. It's got a whole bunch of people who look the same jumping into the sea. And then, obviously, you know, it's meant to be. Yeah, if you just go your own way, you'll end up being part of this huge forward-moving wave of humanity. It is true. This stuff is happening around us, right?
Yeah.
Advertisers have run out of ideas.
One really has to analyze these things and to see how silly they are in some cases. Like, for a beer ad, they'll spend 27 seconds out of the 30 seconds of the ad showing, you know, a man in a sleek suit and driving a fast car and walks into a party where everyone is cheering for him. Yes. And then there's a gorgeous girl on his arm. Yes. And then, of course, he'll drink the drink of champions, which is X beer. Come on.
Right, exactly.
But hey, aspiration sells. Who knows?
You know who you should trust is Cardi B.
Yes.
Coming up, The Burning Platform, brought to you by Nando's.
CliffCentral.com